If you'd like to turn your Bibles, I'm going to begin in Psalm 112. The 112th Psalm. Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. It is well with the man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment, for he will never be shaken, for the righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting the Lord. His heart is upheld. He will not fear until he looks with satisfaction on his adversaries. He has given freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. The wicked will see it and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Three times it mentions righteousness enduring forever. There have been many men and women of the Bible that we read from the beginning of time who, because they were righteous in the sight of God and because of the acts that they chose to do were righteous, they have been remembered until this time. And I have no doubt that they will continue to be remembered forever because of their righteousness. Now tonight I wanted to look at one such man that maybe I don't initially think of, and that is Joseph. And not Joseph of the Old Testament, but Joseph on the first page of the New. If you'd like to turn over with me to Matthew chapter 1. And it says about Joseph in verse 19 that he was a righteous man. And I wanted to look at his story in this brief passage that we have about him and see what exactly made him righteous. And pull out those traits and look at them for ourselves. So I'm going to begin reading in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as followed. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. But he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. I have read this story numerous times. I've heard this history numerous times. But I don't know that I've really ever stopped to think about the whole situation that's going on here. We are presented with Mary and Joseph, who are just getting ready to begin their life together in marriage, when she comes to him and says that she's pregnant. And I think about that, and I think about really just the shock, the kind of mind-deadening as you try to do the math in your head on that, and you realize that can't be mine. I think about just the hurt, the anger, really I think about myself in that situation, the fury that could arise in a situation from that, a statement that is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'm pregnant. I remember when Rebecca first told me that she was pregnant with Walker. I mean, that was one of the greatest days of my life. This is after services, and I was sitting there making ramen noodles, and she came in and said, we got to talk, and we did, and it wasn't about anything bad. It was that Walker was going to come, and it was amazing. But yet, this same statement, I'm pregnant, placed at the wrong time. I mean, that's earth-shattering. I would say this about Joseph. He was a man who had incredible, incredible self-control. Whether, I mean, the Bible is silent on the interaction between them after he first learned that Mary was pregnant. I don't know anything about it. I'm sure it wasn't all roses. I mean, it probably wasn't a whole lot of good interaction. But I have no doubt that Joseph was a man of very high self-control because of two things. Number one, he did not do what could have been done. I think about pretty much, there's a whole lot of people that I can think about in that situation, maybe even me included, that, I mean, if you were to hear that, like, it's easy to imagine someone ending the relationship before the words even got out of someone else's mouth. It's amazing that he did not leave her immediately. And also, it could have ended up a whole lot worse. We read in the Old Law, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, if there is a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, although he and Mary were not technically married at this time, she was, at least it appears to be, as good as his wife. If there is a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, one who commits adultery with his friend's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Joseph didn't do what he could have done. Even if you think that death is extreme and out of the question, well, leaving her immediately wouldn't be. I think about what I thought about is the woman in John chapter 8 that is caught in adultery and brought before Jesus, is put into the middle of all these people. And I think, you know, if Joseph did what he could have done, like that same kind of situation could be around Mary. It's incredible to think about. So I know, number one, he has self-control because he didn't do what he could have done. Number two, he has self-control because he is able to interject time in between hearing that Mary was pregnant and making a decision on it. How much time passed before he was ready to make a decision, or before he received his dream, we don't know, but long enough for him to go to sleep. And I can think, if your fiancé, who's pretty much as good as your wife, tells you that she is pregnant and you know that it's not yours, to be able to interject as much time as he did to the point that he's about to go goes to sleep is incredible to think about. That is absolutely incredible. He interjects time in between hearing devastating news, hearing faith-rattling news, hearing news that could cause someone to, go insane. And he interjects time behind that. And also notice what he's doing with that time. He is thinking about how to put her away secretly. That's amazing to think about. That not only does he take time, not only does he interject time before he makes a decision, but he actually makes pretty good use of the time. When we think about some people who don't make good use of time, we think about maybe Cain, who sat and brooded about the hurt that's been done him, and it ended up drastically. And yet Joseph didn't do that. He was sitting there trying to think of how he could do this righteously. How he can handle this situation righteously. And he thinks about how he can put Mary away secretly in a way that she will not be disgraced in front of everybody. And I was thinking about that, and I don't know how you do that. You're not going to be able to hide the fact that Mary is pregnant forever. Really, the only thing that I could think about is, maybe he married her and then divorces her after. And I really don't know. And those are questions that are very incredibly hard to think about and to contemplate. And yet, that's what righteous people do. That's what righteous men and women do. When we are faced with news that may shatter us, that may crush us, that may hurt us, that may shock us, we think about the righteous way to handle them. not impulsively do the first thing that we think about. Again, I want to flip back to Psalm 112 in verse 4, where it says, "Light arises in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous." Do I feel like Joseph fits that bill? Of course I do. He was being very gracious, compassionate, and righteous in a situation where I don't know that I would be. So we see that Joseph is he is self-controlled. He is merciful. If we continue reading in verse 20. "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet: 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife." Not only was Joseph a man of self-control, not only was he a man of mercy, but I think about him after hearing this, having this dream by an angel. I don't know what his original thoughts were after being visited by an angel. Maybe it was incredulousness. That word. Maybe he was incredulous. Maybe he was shocked. But whatever it is, he believed. Joseph was a man of belief. And how do we know that he was a man of belief? Because of the actions that he took. Sometimes it's very easy to view belief as just this corporeal thought, like just nothing without substance. Like, yes, it's almost like an understanding. But belief is not just an understanding. Belief is something that has action behind it. We read in Colossians chapter 3. Paul says this: "Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth." It's easy to forget sometimes that belief does have action behind it. We can read this section of Scripture and we say, yes, we believe. We believe that our lives are dead and are with Christ. We believe that we are to keep our lives focused. We believe all of that, but yet the question that we have to ask is, do we set aside anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech? Do we set aside these things as well? It's one thing to say something. It's another thing to do it. Noah believed that the world was going to be destroyed, so he picked up a hammer. Moses believed that the waters could be split, so he stuck his staff over the sea. Belief without action is not belief. Belief has to have action behind it. And that's what righteous men and women do. They believe, and their actions back it up and show it. But what keeps us from belief? Something that I was thinking about is when we read the angel talking to Joseph. I find it interesting that he doesn't say, "Do not be angry at Mary. Do not be furious at her. Do not telling him to quell his anger, but yet he says, do not fear. Fear is one of the big reasons why we disbelieve. Fear is probably one of the main reasons why we disbelieve. It's so easy in times where we are terrified. And I don't know why Joseph was. Maybe he was terrified to take on a wife who he may or may not have thought cheated on him. But it is in times where we are terrified that it's so easy to lose our faith. And fear, when it comes around and takes control of us, it begs for proof. I need proof. And even God himself recognizes this shortcoming that humans have when he says to Gideon in Gideon chapter 7 verse 10, if you do not believe that you can do this, go down to the camp and listen to what they say. When we are afraid, we beg for proof, and we do not believe. I was listening to a debate between an atheist and you may know him. His name is Kyle Budd. He's one of the writers for Apologetics Press. And one of the arguments that the guy brought up was big claims need big evidence. He was saying, I could tell you that I live in California, and that I took a bus to get to the airport, took a plane to get here. You don't need any proof of that. But if I say that I was on that plane and then aliens came by and abducted me and made me their king or whatever, that kind of claim needs bigger proof. And My answer to that is, I get where he's coming from, but I would say, just for the same reason that Max brought up in his prayer, God is extremely evident in what's around us. There is extreme proof that God created this, that this is a world that had a maker behind it. There's tons of proof around us. And that's one of the things that we have to realize when we are afraid and maybe our heart begins asking for proof, is that there is proof in abundance. I mean, you think about Joseph's situation where he has found out that his wife, who is saying that she is a virgin, is pregnant. Well, we can go back and look at what the angel told him. He reminds Joseph that he is a son of David. We know that Jesus is going to come from David's line. And he says that your wife has been, she has conceived with the Holy Spirit. Yes, she is a virgin. She was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And that matches up with prophecies that we see in the past, and even one that we see answered for us in verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel. Something to realize is that, you know, sometimes when we're asking for proof or we feel ourselves begging for proof, really the truth is that God gives us proof. People that believe, righteous men and women that believe, and righteous men and women do believe, we do not believe on nothing. We believe on the abundance of proof and promise that our God does give us. We do not believe based on nothing. We believe in a satisfaction that God has given us proof. So Joseph was a man of belief as well. And then we see, starting in verse 25, I'll go ahead and read 24 again. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And I think about Joseph going through all of this. He went through all of this. He saw it all to the end. He went through the disappointment. He went through the anger. He took Mary as his wife. He went through the pregnancy. At the end of all of this, they didn't even get to consummate his marriage. And he saw everything to the end. And I guess I was thinking about Joseph on his wedding night. After going through all of this, and thought, that is a man of endurance. Strong endurance. And how did Joseph have so much endurance? What keeps us from having endurance? Well, there's a physical aspect to it. There's the getting tired. There's the just wanting to give up, the getting sore. But then there's also a mental aspect of it. And I think about this whole situation. Again, Joseph on his wedding night. And how all of this has gone. And you think, you put together a snapshot of the very beginning of our story, where you have two people who are on the verge of getting married and starting a whole life together. And then you look again at Mary and Joseph, who at the end of all this have a child, and it isn't Joseph. And you think about all of this, I mean, it'd be very easy for me in that situation to look at everything and say, this is all wrong. This is not how it should have gone. This is not how I imagine things going. Disappointment is one of the big thoughts that I had. Frustration. And it's so easy in those times when we are frustrated, when we are disappointed with how everything has gone, that it's very easy to give up and to lose endurance and to not see things to the end. But that's not what righteous men and women do. They even, in the face of trial and struggle, and in the face of life just not going the way that it goes, they keep pushing forward and pushing forward. And that's the kind of righteousness that gets a crown. That's the kind of righteousness that endures forever. That's the kind of righteousness that sees Jesus. So that's kind of our picture of Joseph. A man of self-control, a man of mercy, a man of belief, a man of endurance. Now I just want to kind of hold that man up to you and take a look at Joseph. How is your self-control? How is your belief? How is your endurance? I look at Joseph and I think about myself and some of these situations, and I realize that I have a lot of growth to do. But I'm thankful to a God that allows us for that growth, who allows us stories like or accounts like this that help us to grow. And I think of Matthew chapter 12. In which Jesus says this. I'm going to start reading verse 46. While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and his brothers were standing outside, seeking to speak to him. And someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak to you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and my sister and my mother. Those who are righteous, who follow God's will, they're the ones that get to be called Jesus' family. And I look at Joseph and I think he's the perfect picture of that. Not related to Jesus by blood, and yet a righteous man who lived righteously, who we consider part of Jesus' family. And I believe he was, and I believe that we can be too. If you need any prayers of the congregation, or if you need to be baptized tonight, we give you that opportunity while we stand and as we sing.